I want to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And we pray that God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. I have heard many people say, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God A, B, or C. Why this? Why that? Why was I sick? Why did I lose my job?" And all. Have you ever heard people saying that? I think when we get to heaven, we'll be so overcome with the glory and the majesty of King Jesus. Those questions we have now will have faded into the background, and we will worship him falling at his feet. But in the meantime, we're here on planet Earth, and God has a job for us to do. And God has a job for every one of us to do. But you might say to me this morning, "I'm not special. I haven't gone to Uganda, or I haven't done this, or I can't preach." God has a job for each one to do. And you might think that, well, it's all right for those people in Bible times. They were special sort of people. I want to tell you this morning, they weren't special. They were ordinary folk like you and me. And they had problems, they had challenges, they had difficulties, and they even let the Lord down. And so it is interesting that the devil, when you fall, when you let Jesus down and you confess your sin and you get things right between you and God again, doesn't the devil come along and say, "Ah, you're not much of a Christian. You've let Jesus down again." The scriptures tell us that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil accuses us of past sins that have been forgiven. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, convicts us of sin to draw us closer to Christ. The devil accuses, but the Holy Spirit convicts. So you might think today that there's no job for you in God's kingdom because you're not special. I have a list here in front of me of some Bible characters that were ordinary people, and yet God used them. Think of Joseph, and we often think of Joseph and his a wonderful robe that his father gave him. But Joseph was a spoiled brat. And God had to knock some corners off him. But God used him eventually to deliver his people from starvation. Noah, we all know the story about Noah and the ark. When Noah came out of the ark, he planted a vineyard. And we read that he got drunk from drinking too much wine. So he had an alcohol problem. Jonah, God had a job for Jonah to do, to go to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish in the other direction. He ran away from what God wanted him to do. Moses, he had a bad stutter. He told the Lord when God asked him to go to Egypt, "I can't speak, Crown. I have a stutter." Abraham, well, he was a bit like me. He was very old. And God used him. Lazarus, he was dead. But God raised him to life and used him. Peter, well, poor old Peter, he had a temper. He used to speak before he put his brain into gear, and he faltered many a time, and we'll look at a bit more of that later. David, King David, poor thing David, he had an affair. But God used him when he repented and he turned back to God. Zacchaeus, he was a bit short, but God used the short man too. Martha was a very anxious sort of a lady, always fussing and flapping around the house, and she hadn't time to sit to listen to her Jesus. Paul, before he was converted, he was a murderer. And yet look how God used him and gave us so much of the New Testament scriptures. Jacob, he was a cheat. God used him. Sarah, Abraham's wife, she was impatient. When the promise wasn't being fulfilled, she advised her husband to sleep with her handmaid. Elijah. Oh, Elijah. Yeah, we all think of Elijah as this mighty man of God who was used on Mount Carmel. And yet, we read in the next chapter, he got depressed. Maybe you can identify with Elijah. Thomas, oh, poor Thomas. We nicknamed him Doubting Thomas, didn't we? What a label to put on somebody. But God used him. Rahab was a prostitute. And yet when she turned to put her faith in the living God, we find her name, one of the three ladies mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. God used her. And I'm sure that list could... You could think of other people in the scriptures, but God used them. And so I want to encourage you this morning, no matter how messy your past life has been, God can use you. No matter how broken your past has been, God can use you. No matter how tired or how far gone you feel, you're never too far from Jesus. God does not choose the qualified. He qualifies the ones he has chosen. I'm going to repeat that. God does not choose the qualified. He qualifies those he has chosen. And Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you that you might go and bear much fruit." God has chosen you. Repeat, "I am chosen by God." Amen. Do you believe that? And God will qualify you for the task he has for you. So these people in the scriptures that I've mentioned, they were not special people. They were ordinary people whom God took and used for his glory. Now, the reading to tie things together from Matthew's Gospel that we read, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. It's interesting the little details Scripture gives you. And there's always a reason for these things. Caesarea Philippi was 120 miles from Jerusalem. It was Gentile territory, and the region was full of religion. The worship of Baal or Baal was prominent in that area. There was many shrines, and there was a shrine to the god, the Greek god Pan, and King Herod had built a temple there to Caesar Augustus, and it was a place full of superstition. Now, it could replicate Ireland, full of superstition. And in this place, this Gentile hostile place, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And Peter, he came up with his answer, "You are the Messiah." What a wonderful answer. You are the Messiah. He had realized whom his Jesus was, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, "You're blessed. This has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter," and the word for Peter is a small stone. And he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter. On this rock I will build my church." And the word in the Greek for this rock is Petra, meaning a large stone. So some people think that Jesus said that on Peter he was going to build his church, but Scripture clearly teaches us the opposite. The church of Jesus Christ is built on the rock Christ Jesus. He is the chief cornerstone. And in 1 Peter 2, we read, "As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." So Peter was a stone being built into God's spiritual house. And you and I are a small stone being built into God's house. He said he was going to build his church, not a beautiful building like this, but you and I are the church of Jesus Christ. And we're all small stones. In Uganda, and those of you who come from African countries will know that they make clay bricks for building, and they're made in a mold, and every brick is the same shape, size, all the same, no difference. But a stone, I love building stone walls, and from experience I've discovered that no stone, there's no two stones the same. Every stone is different. And the Bible tells us that we are a small stone being built into God's house. And we are all different, different colors, different shapes, different sizes, some more beautiful looking than others. But that's it. We are being built into God's house. But Jesus said, on the rock, the statement that Peter had made that he was the Messiah, on this rock, I'm building my church. And it was very interesting because this was a whole new concept for the disciples, because the Jews at that time was expecting the Messiah to bring about a political change and kick the Romans out of Israel. But Jesus didn't come to establish a political kingdom. He came to build his church. And it's important for us to remember that Jesus came to build his church, a called out assembly of people to worship him. And Jesus goes on to say that the gates of hell or Hades will not overcome it. And it is very interesting. Hades represents the realm of the dead. And those who are without Christ are living in the realm of the dead. But those of us who have come and put our faith in Jesus, we are made alive, taken from the realm of the dead, taken from the realm of Hades. And he says, the gates of hell will not overcome what he is building. So I want you to take encouragement from this morning, that you know, we're always the minority in number nationally, because there's thousands of our fellow Irish men and women who don't belong to the kingdom of God. But we are being built into God's church, and the gates of hell will not overcome. Many countries around the world today, there are people being slaughtered because they're believers. I saw on the phone last night, in Ethiopia, hundreds of people, Christians, slaughtered. But the gates of hell will not overcome. Those people are in the glory today with Jesus. And we need to remember that the powers of hell and darkness will not overcome what Jesus is doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the gates of hell, the gates represent the authority and power of darkness, the organized power of death and Satan. That's what the gates of Hades represent. But by Jesus' death and resurrection, he conquered death and he stormed the gates of hell and delivered the captives. Hebrews 2 tells us, by his death, that he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus has overcome. Jesus has broken the power of Satan, hell, and death, and we today can know liberty. Jesus broke the power of death. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said to Peter, he would give him the keys of the kingdom. And some people struggle with what does this mean, but I believe that the keys represent what you have to open a door, and the way to open the door to eternal life is by sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Peter was used on the day of Pentecost to open the door to 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. Then in Acts 8, we read about how he was used to use the keys of the gospel to open the door to the Samaritans, and in Acts 10, to the Gentiles. And so Peter was used by the Lord to share the good news, the kingdom keys, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we didn't continue to read in that passage, but Jesus goes on to talk to his disciples about his death, and Peter speaks up and he says, "Not so, Lord." Wow, imagine having "no" and "Lord" in the same sentence. If Jesus is Lord, we can't say no. But Peter was thinking from a human point of view, and he didn't want Jesus to suffer and to die on the cross, but he fouled up again. But God used him later on. Peter was thinking like a man, thinking about escaping suffering and death. And Jesus goes on in verse 24 and he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me." And so today, the price is still the same. If we want to follow Jesus, we need to be prepared to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him, to give ourselves wholly to Christ, and to share his shame and his death. Christ lives in me because he has saved me from my sin. So later on, Peter denied Jesus. So if you think that these guys in the scriptures were perfect, think again. Think again. But even though he denied Jesus, when the power of the Holy Spirit came on Peter at Pentecost, wow, Peter was a different man. And so I want to encourage you today that there is victory to be had in Jesus. There is no other name than the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We sang it earlier on. Do you believe that? There's power in the name of Jesus to break the bonds that held us, to break the power of sin. Jesus didn't come just to save us from hell. He came to break the power of sin in our lives and that we could live a victorious life in Him. Jesus came to give us abundant life, not to be saved just by the skin of our teeth, but to be saved to live a glorious life full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, as we draw to a close, I don't know your past. I don't know how bad it's been, how rough it's been, how desperate it's been, but I know this. My Jesus knows your past. My Jesus knows you. And today, I want to encourage you to bring your past to Jesus. Somebody said earlier in the service that there's power here today for healing. Yes, there's power for physical healing. I'm a testimony to how the Lord healed me. I won't go into that story now. But there's also healing from your past. And God has put this message on my heart for today for a reason. And there's somebody here today and you're struggling with your past. And God wants to heal you today from your past. No matter how rough it's been, how desperate it's been, God wants to heal you from your past and set you free in Him. Jesus will set you free. And then you will discover what Jesus has in store for you. God does not choose the qualified, but He qualifies the ones He has chosen. I had a song on the phone there, and it's disappeared on me, so I won't take time to look for it. But my desire in life is to follow Jesus, to follow Him with all of my heart. I love my Jesus. With all my breath, I long to follow Jesus. Is that your desire this morning? But there's something holding you bound, and you're not wholly following Jesus 100%. Jesus, we sang it, and it just confirmed this message to me this morning. We sang about the power of Jesus to break the chains. There's power in this house today to break the chains of the past. Maybe it's addiction, maybe it's something else, but there's power in the name of Jesus to set you free. And He wants to do it today. Not tomorrow, but today. With all my breath, I long to follow Jesus. I trust it's your longing, your desire. And as our service draws to a close shortly, do business with God today and allow Him to heal the pain of your past that is holding you bound, and He will gloriously set you free. I've seen it over and over and over again on my trips to Uganda, how God sets people free, and He's still the God who wants to set people free. Do you want to be free today? With all my breath, I want to follow Jesus.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay. Stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless, and see you soon.